Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening,
and welcome back tonight. If we have any guests in our midst, I pray that you'd feel welcome here also. I hope you were all blessed by last night's program as much as I was, and I trust that today will be no different. I think we're going to jump right in to tonight's program. But before we do, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. And first of all, again, we want to thank you for being the loving, merciful God that you are. And Lord, I pray that as last night, tonight would be a blessing to everyone here. And again, that it would be it would honor you, glorify you, and we just pray for each one that is coming to do their part today, that you'd be with them and help them, and that we just feel your presence here today. And we also pray for those that are traveling, and also for us as we leave here tonight. May you watch over us as we travel. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Good evening. The scripture passage that's picked for me today is John 13, 21 to 32. John 13, 21 to 32. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another and doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on him, on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask of it, who it is that he speak. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him, and Jesus said unto them, That thou doest, do it quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto them, By those things that we were need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God is also glorified himself, him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Thank you.
Come ye sinners, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a way, findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
In temptation he is near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He will keep thee while the ages roll throughout eternity. Through earth hinders and hell rages, all must work for good to thee.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
The next scripture passage is taken from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, in which it is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, after he had took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just not going to surprise you. I'm just going to let you know I'm nervous. But I'm glad to be here this evening. And for those of you who maybe don't know me, my name is Lauren Elias, and the Rhineland Summerfeld Church is my home church. But I was felt honored to be invited to speak here this evening, and we have a little bit of Manitoba mix happening outside, but I'm glad that you still came and made the effort to come and to hear the Word of God this evening. Before we go into the message, let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, we thank you for this facility that we have to come together in comfort and worship you. And Lord, we just ask your leading this evening on what is spoken, what is taught. I ask, Lord, that you would guide my lips, that nothing would be spoken against your will. And Lord, we just ask that you would soften our hearts, that you could help us to put aside any pride or anything that stands in the way of having you mold us and shape us. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on your word this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture passages that Mr. Wall read here this evening talk about a situation that took place in the last days and hours of Jesus' life here before his crucifixion, and how he came together with his disciples. And we can see that Jesus had a close circle of friends, and they spent probably almost all of their time together, and for probably somewhere around 3 years that they spent together. And so they would have had lots of opportunity to really get close and get to know each other. But even in a circle that close-knit, there was someone in their midst who did not share the same sentiments of the rest of the group. But he was able to keep it well hidden and well concealed. This man is known by the name of Judas Iscariot. And the name Judas is often, when you hear the name Judas, you think of negative things. You think of betrayal. You think of not being loyal. We think of, you know, hatred for Jesus. But at the time, that was not the case. And we can see in this passage that he fit in with the group. And so Jesus, in his last week, you know, he did not have it easy. His life was filled with all kinds of trials. But here, it seems like they were concentrated in this last time, where Satan was really doing his utmost to try to destroy Jesus. And you can see that Jesus' difficulties were not coming from the outside. You know, the children of Israel were under Roman rule at the time, where the Romans kind of had the final word, and the Jews didn't particularly like this arrangement. It was somewhat oppressive, although they did have certain freedom still. But it wasn't the Romans that were causing the difficulties for Jesus. But you can see that the trials that Jesus faced and the opposition that he faced came more from those who were religious, those who claimed to have some kind of belief in God, among the Jews, among the scribes, the Pharisees, the professing followers of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These were the ones who were causing Jesus difficulty and opposition. But in Jesus' inner circle, you would have expected that these were all faithful followers and loyal to Jesus. But that was not the case. And so this evening, I've kind of titled this message, "The Judas in All of Us." And that may sound like a strange title, but sometimes we can think about Judas and we just think of how awful and evil a person he must have been. But when I think about it, I think sometimes maybe he wasn't that far removed from who we are or who we could be. Sometimes we think that surely I would never do such a thing. And we become confident in our own strength, in our own abilities. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And so we are warned that just because things are going well right now, and just because you seem to be faithful right now, don't think that you are beyond falling or doing something that you would really regret. And then if you look in Matthew chapter 26, this is another account. The one we read earlier is out of John 13, but Matthew 26 also talks about this day where Jesus and his disciples are together and having this Last Supper. But in Matthew 26, verse 21 and 22, he gives us a few different details than we read in John. And it says there, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" And so here you can see that they didn't immediately all turn and say, "Oh, I know who's going to betray you, it's Judas. You know, he's the guy sitting here with the dark look on his face." You know, they didn't do that. It says in John that they looked around at each other, but they didn't pinpoint Judas because it wasn't obvious to them who it was. And what I admire about the apostles here is that they were humble enough to say, "Lord, is it I?" They did not allow their pride to throw out that possibility that they might betray Christ. So do we ever ask ourselves that question? You know, "Lord, is it I?" Do we see ourselves as potential betrayers? And you know, these might seem like serious questions, but I think they're something that we can give some serious consideration. You know, do we ever betray our Savior by acting contrary to His word? Or are we overly confident in our own abilities to withstand temptation? Do we think that I've got this? I don't need help. I would never do such a thing. Well, the Bible gives us in this chapter, Matthew 26, that we were just in, we're given an example of someone who faced this situation, and that is Peter, a very familiar part of the Easter account. Matthew 26, verses 33 to 35. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." So Peter was very confident that he would stick with Jesus. He would never betray him. But Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Not just once, but three times. "Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." So he very boldly stated that he would not do such a thing. And sometimes we think, well, it was just Peter. We forget about the last part of that verse, but it says, "Likewise also said all the disciples." And so we can see that all of the disciples were like, we will not let you down. We will be with you through thick and thin. But only a few short hours later, all of the disciples had fled and abandoned Jesus. And Peter had verbally and loudly denied being a follower of Jesus. So if we go back to the account in John chapter 13, we can see that in verse 21 it says, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." So Jesus was troubled. He was not at peace with what was going to happen. He had this trouble inside of him because he knew that someone who he had had as his close friend and who he had shown love to for 3 years was going to betray him. And so this caused Jesus' grief and pain. You know, Jesus knew that he was going to lay down his life shortly for every one of these men, including Judas. And he was grieved that one of these souls would reject his gift of salvation and eternal life for a corruptible and a very temporary personal gain. So, the question is, how do we compare to Judas? Are we maybe more similar than we think? You know, we know Judas was human, as we all are. But humans tend to have the same type of flesh, no matter where you find them. No matter when they lived in time or where they live in the world, we all face similar struggles. And so we may be more similar than we think. So let's look at, first of all, the circumstances that Judas was in, or the situation around Judas during his time with Jesus. First of all, we can see in Matthew 10 that Matthew 10 verses 1 to 4, we can see that Judas is listed among the disciples, among the 12. Matthew 10 verses 1 to 4. And it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." And so here we see the list of the 12, with Judas being of that number. And in this we can see that Jesus bestowed blessings on these 12. And it talks about giving them power against unclean spirits and healing. And it doesn't give any exception there saying that Judas was excluded from that blessing. And so he was part of the inner circle. So he had a very privileged position in history. If you think of it, only 12 people were given that honor to be of that group at that time. And then we can see that Judas was exposed to fellowship with Jesus. He was there when Jesus was teaching. And so he will have heard firsthand his public ministry, and then he also will have heard the private conversations that they had amongst themselves. Because we see in Scripture sometimes when Jesus was teaching in parables, later he gave a deeper explanation to those close to him. And so he had a very privileged position. And I'd like to compare some of these situations to us today. You know, how long have you known Jesus? How long have you been walking with Jesus? How many blessings has Jesus bestowed upon your life? And then we look at Judas being together not only with Jesus, but with 11 other disciples, 11 other men who were deeply committed to their walk with Jesus. And so he had the benefit of godly fellowship on a daily basis. You know, do we have the privilege of having godly friends in our life? And then we see Judas will have been exposed to the miracles that Jesus did. He was there, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 or the 4,000, or when Jesus healed people, or raised Lazarus from the dead, or some of these events. If he wasn't there in first hand, he will have heard of it from someone who was. And in John 21, verse 25, It talks about Jesus' miracles, and it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, we haven't been there maybe firsthand when Jesus did all of these miracles, but we get to read about a portion of them in Scripture. Some of them are recorded in Scripture, but obviously there was an abundance more things that Jesus did that are not written down for us. But Judas probably will have seen or heard about many of them. So you can see how the situation that Judas was in should have been one of the best possible situations to be in, to become, to really understand who Jesus is and to develop a relationship with him and to really understand why he came to earth. Have you seen God at work in your life? Have you watched him work when things looked impossible? Have you seen miracles in your own life that Jesus has done for you? I ask these questions so that we can kind of compare ourselves to what Judas, the circumstances he found himself in. And then we look at how Jesus treated Judas. John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So here we can see that Jesus knew who Judas really was. He knew what Judas was going to do. It was not hidden from him. But how did Jesus treat Judas in spite of knowing who he really was? Well, the Bible tells us that Judas, as we read in John 13 here in the passage that Mr. Wall read before, it talked about how Judas, when he went out, it says he carried the bag, or he was the one who had the money. And so this tells us that Jesus entrusted him with money. He entrusted him with finances, with managing the money that they had for taking care of their needs or for helping the poor. So Jesus knew that one of them was a devil, but yet he gave this devil or this wicked man privileges and responsibilities, even though he knew who he really was. Haven't we also been given responsibilities? Hasn't God entrusted us with things that for us to do? Things that we don't deserve to do, but yet he has given them to us in our care. You know, for those of you who have a family, has he not given you children to care for, to raise, even though we don't deserve that responsibility and that honor? In John 13, verse 10 and 11, we can see how Jesus loved on a much deeper level than what we love. Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean." So this was in the passage where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. and to wash the feet of someone who you know is going to betray you and turn you over to those who would nail him to the cross is a love and a humbleness that in an earthly sense I cannot understand. You know, it is so easy to be upset with somebody who just inconveniences us. Somebody who just does something that annoys me a little bit. It's so easy to get upset and to speak out of spite or kind of just put in a little jab somewhere to show that, hey, you hurt me. I'm going to hurt you back. And that's over minor annoyances. But here, someone who Jesus had always treated with love, and he was going to betray Jesus, and yet Jesus washed his feet, just like the other 11. But Jesus says, ye are not all clean. Jesus washed his feet, but Judas would not allow Jesus to wash his heart. He would not allow Jesus to wash him from the inside. He enjoyed the benefits that Jesus could give him. You know, he was in it for what he could get out of it. But yet, what he needed the most, he rejected. Have you allowed Jesus to clean you from the outside, but not from the inside? Is there dirt that needs washing out that you're holding on to? Then we see in verse 26 of John 13, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Judas ate from the hand of Jesus. Jesus provided him with good food. And Judas took it and enjoyed it. But yet, he would not allow Jesus to go beyond giving him these external benefits. He missed out on the spiritual blessings. You know, have we received physical blessings from Jesus? I think if all of us were honest, we would say yes, abundantly. So abundantly. But are we missing it out on the spiritual blessings that he offers us? Now, here was a man who was called by Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who learned from Jesus, and who served with Jesus, and yet missed out on the very purpose for which Jesus had come to earth. The question is, are we missing the point? And then in the other passage that was read in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, there's the account of Jesus breaking the bread and giving the cup to his disciples. You know, he shared the cup with them. But if you look at the accounts of this story in all of the Gospels, you can see that it appears that Judas left before the cup was shared. Because we read in John 13 that when Jesus gave him the bread, it says that he went out immediately. and it does not say anything about him coming back. And it was after that that Jesus shared the cup and gave the cup to his disciples. And I think there is some significance to that. As I was studying for this, I saw that that seems to correspond with what we read here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. It says, sorry, 10, verse 21. It says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." And so here we can see that God makes it very clear that we cannot be divided in whom we serve. In Matthew 6, verse 24, it also says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or money. So it's very clear that we cannot be divided. Jesus calls for us to follow him and him only because he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But Judas loved money. You know, it says, the Bible calls him a thief. You know, are we fully committed, or do we like to have one foot on both sides of the fence? You know, do we ever compromise our beliefs for the sake of financial gain or for some other gain, something for selfish purposes? Do we sometimes betray Christ by making a decision that is against his will? 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, doesn't that describe Judas perfectly? You know, he loved money so much that he was willing to betray his Savior for 30 pieces of silver. You know, it says, some coveted after money, and they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, look at Judas's response after he realized what he had done. I'd say he was pierced through with many sorrows. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, it says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." You know, are we halting, or are we struggling between two opinions? Do we want the world more than we want Jesus? Or are we torn between the two? Are we following the God or a God? You know, Judas is the one that we always recognize as the betrayer of Jesus. And he was the one who led them to Jesus. But as we saw earlier, the other disciples also fell short when the going got tough. So it wasn't Judas alone. So is there hope for anyone if those that were closest to Jesus couldn't keep it together? Well, let's see how it all turned out for them. In Matthew 27, verses 3 to 5, it says, "Then Judas, when which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You know, Judas saw that he had made a big mistake. He saw that he had betrayed innocent blood. But instead of going to the one who could help, who could make things right, he went to man. You know, he went back to the chief priests and he tried to make things right with them by giving the money back and trying to somehow reverse what had happened. But that doesn't work. You can't go to man to fix your problems. You know, in the Catholic Church, they go to a priest in confession, which is supposed to somehow bring them forgiveness. That doesn't work. You know, sometimes we go to self-help books, and we go to counselors, and we go to different things, and some of those things are not bad on their own. But if we are trying to fix our problems apart from Christ, it is going to fail. And Judas going to man was the wrong thing for him to do. But his pride kept him from going to the one who could save him. His pride kept him from going to the one that he had betrayed, from going to Jesus and going to him in repentance. And rather, he gave up in despair and took his own life. You know, Peter and the other apostles also saw the error of their ways. But instead of clinging to their pride, they rather humbled themselves and clung to their faith that somehow what Jesus had promised would come to pass, even though right now it looked very dark. Their Savior was going to hang on the cross. But they knew that somehow God was going to work in this situation. And in Luke chapter 22, we can see Peter's response when he denied Jesus. Luke 22, verses 60 to 62. And the Lord, and Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. So that was his third denial. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That must have been a hard look to take for Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, Peter also felt remorse for what he had done. He also recognized his sin and was deeply sorrowful because of it. But Peter did not take the drastic step of going and ending his own life, because I believe Peter still knew that there was some hope. And I believe in that look that Jesus gave him, there must have been some compassion there. There must have been love there. And you know, when you say something to someone that you love that hurts them, you know, I've said things to people that I love, I've said things to my wife whom I love, things that have hurt her. And when I see the pain on her face, it hurts me because I realize what I've done. And I believe for Peter to have Jesus look at him in that moment of denial must have been very difficult for him. But we see that Peter was given the privilege of being the first of the apostles to see Jesus resurrected. It's mentioned specifically in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, and also in the Gospels that Peter saw him first. And so we can see there Jesus showing that grace and that mercy that we do not deserve, and Peter sticking around to receive that grace instead of taking his own life. You know, all of us are capable of being guilty of sin. And we're all capable of betraying Jesus Christ at times. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So in some way, shape, or form, we have betrayed our Savior. But the good news is that mercy is available for us when we do. And that promise is written so beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 10. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ," or made us alive. "By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So he's raised us up from this sinful condition. You know, we were dead in our sins, but if we place our trust in Jesus, it says he will make us alive, he will quicken us, and says, and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's wonderful, rich promises for us there. And then, so that is for the present, or that is for the things that we've done in the past, and how God is going to quicken us. He's going to raise us from that condition of sin and restore us into who he desires for us to be. And then he has a promise for the future, continuing on in verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There are more blessings coming for us. It is not only when we are saved, it is not only for here and now, but there are blessings to come in the future while we are here on earth, and then for all of eternity. The exceeding riches. We can't even comprehend what Jesus has for us. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So this is that great promise of grace and salvation that is available to us through faith in the Son of God. Nothing that we can do can earn that. We don't have to, and sometimes we almost seem like we want to earn it. You know, I want to go to heaven on my own merit, so I'm going to do something. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. But Scripture is very clear that, for one, you can't earn it. And number two, we don't have to earn it. And that is a wonderful promise. Because if we had to earn it, we'd all be sunk. This life would be a life of bondage and fear, and we'd always come up short. But you know, this wonderful promise, Judas gave up his opportunity and took his life. Let's not be like Judas. Let's not betray our Savior in what he has given us. There's such riches available for us. And then at the last part of that passage in John 13, verse 31 and 32, it says, "Therefore, when he was gone out," he's talking about Judas there, "Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him.'" It's kind of like the deal was settled now. The betrayer had gone out to go and get those who would take Jesus and nail him to the cross. Kind of the deal was done. And it looked, you know, the disciples were somewhat oblivious to what was going on, but Jesus knew full well what was coming. But yet, he was glorified in his obedience to his Father. Jesus, knowing exactly what was going to happen, did not turn away and run, but he stuck to the plan. He obeyed his Father, even in spite of it being the greatest, most difficult situation ever to be on the face of this earth. You know, Jesus endured the cross because of his love for us, so that his Father would receive the honor and glory. Now, that is an example for all of us. Do we seek to bring God glory in how we live our life every day, in what we do? Do our actions, do our thoughts, do our appetites and desires bring honor and glory to God? Or do they betray him? Do we blend in like Judas did among the 12? Do we have our feet clean and washed from the outside? Or are we like those whitewashed tombs that Jesus talked about in the Bible, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones? We don't want to be one of those. We have this precious promise of a Savior. And if we have accepted that promise, if we have put our trust in Jesus for salvation, we can glorify him and praise him, and we should be thankful every day of our life. So do we love God so much that we are willing to see his name lifted up, even if it may come at the expense of our personal image? Or are we trying to preserve our image and our self-interests, and so we say no to things that Jesus asks of us? You know, even though Judas is the one who gets the blame heaped on him for what he did, we have to be careful that we are not like Judas. You know, we have received the blessings of God just as Judas did. Have we been faithful in those blessings? You know, just as the disciples asked, "Is it I?" so we also need to examine ourselves. And in Romans 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So here we can see that sometimes we come down hard on others, but we're guilty of the same sin. And so we are being warned against that, to come to God in humbleness, to give him all of our sin, and to walk faithfully with him instead. And Judas failed to see the goodness of God. Even though Jesus handed it to him, he gave him that sop to eat. He gave him blessings, he gave him privileges, he gave him fellowship. But yet, he rejected and betrayed his Savior. So in order not to be like Judas, let's take the example and learn from it. Let's remember the blessings from Jesus that we enjoy and praise him. Let's live our lives in a way that brings God the honor and glory and not ourselves. And when we mess up, let's humble ourselves and come to God in repentance. Be thankful every day for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and praise him for it. And then pass this blessing on to others who need the good news and the hope that comes with it. And I'll close with four verses in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 8 to 11. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we serve a great and wonderful God who shows his love and his goodness to us every day. Let's serve him with a smile on our face and a thankful heart, and we will receive the blessings, the spiritual blessings that he has in store for us. Let's bow for a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for those precious promises that you have given us. May we never try to do it on our own, with our flesh. But Lord, let us yield ourselves to you and to receive that blessed salvation that you offer us through your blood. And Lord, may we live a victorious life, a life of faithful service to you in thankfulness and in great love. And Lord, we just thank you for that blessed sacrifice that you gave for us. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
We've come to the end of another great program, and I think we've all been blessed. And for everyone that took part tonight, I just want to thank you, and may the Lord bless you for what you've offered us tonight. We'd like to continue our evening in the dining hall again, but before we do, I just have an announcement from the committee. As was mentioned, we are experiencing some Manitoba weather, so if there are any evening services this week that need to be canceled, it'll be posted on Pembina Valley Online and also on the church website. So maybe just keep an eye on the weather and check before you come, just to make sure that everything is still on. And as I mentioned, we'd like to continue our evening in the dining hall. So if you'd bow with me for asking the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight and just thank you for making this evening possible. Thank you for providing this building for us to use to honor and glorify you. And Lord, we thank you for everyone that made it here safely, and we just pray for safety over the next few days as we may experience some weather that maybe we don't want to see this time of year, but we know all things are in your control, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as we continue tonight in a time of food and fellowship, I just pray that you would be in our midst and that you would further bless our time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You were dismissed.